Welcome to Yanker Jacks with Brian Swope.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Part of the Gateway City Sports Podcast Network.
Once again, guys, welcome back to Yanker Jacks. This is your host, Brian Swope, Papa Swope on Twitter. How are you guys doing today? Coming to you from Gateway City Sports Studios, and Gateway City Sports is your source for all news, all sports news content related to St. Louis. And we are by fans, for fans. We are here for you. We've got everything that you want talked about. We have got it, and if we don't have it, then you let us know, drop us a line, and we will be sure to have you covered. Speaking of coverage, sometimes you need to make sure that your things and the things you can, and the people you care about are safe, and that's when you need insurance. But not just any insurance will do. You need Allstate. That's why the Wiley Group has two locations in Festus and in Arnold to serve you. They offer home, auto, boat, motorcycle, business, life insurance, investments, and so much more. They use a customized approach that is tailor-made to meet your needs. Give Sean and his team a call today at 636-764-6294. They can help you with an insurance quote right over the phone. Or if you just want to talk about sports, they do that too. Don't have time to call? Just email Sean at SeanWiley@allstate.com to learn about the coverage options you need to keep you and your family protected. And remember, you're in good hands with Allstate. So it's been a kind of a fun week, I think. We're going to touch on some Cardinals stuff, and we're going to touch on some NCAA football, but I'm going to do that a little bit later with a couple of guests that I have coming on today. So let's talk a little Blues hockey, guys. This team is looking really good, really, really good. You know, they've opened the season now on a 4-game winning streak and are currently undefeated, which is incredible. And matter of fact, they are one of right now. Let's see. They're one of only three unbeaten teams so far. No, four. I'm sorry, four. Forgot. Carolina has played the same amount of games as us and still has no losses. So the Blues are now one of four teams still unbeaten. That'd be St. Louis, Edmonton, and then Florida Panthers, and Carolina Hurricanes. So we're doing good. We're doing good. And the goal differential is plus 11 for the Blues. I mean, that anytime you get a goal differential in the double digits, positive, then you know you're doing good. So way to go, Blues. Way to go. This is what we want to see. We want to see them bounce back. You know, after winning the Cup in 2019 and just having a down year, this year, last year, it was a little frustrating, disappointing. But you know what? The talent's there. Doug Armstrong has done what he needed to do to get this roster reloaded and ready to go. And, shout out to rookie Jake Neighbors, who scored his first goal against the Kings. And that was, it was a beauty of a goal, too. If you didn't see it, he came off the bench and just skated right to the front of the net and was fed a beautiful pass right there in the middle, right in front of the net. And he didn't waste it. He didn't waste it all. He put it right in. The Blues are doing phenomenally well. Let's just hope that they keep it up. Let's just hope that they keep it up, because if they do, this is a team that looks poised to make a lot of noise this season in the NHL. I think they're going to do great. So we're going to have a bit of a shorter show for you today. With that, having said that, now that we've talked blues a little bit, let's get on to our guests. Okay, and now I am excited to have a couple of guests with me tonight. Joining me on the Holy Smokers guest line is two of my good friends and contributors over at Gateway City Sports. That would be Russ Robinson and Don Glenn. And when it's time to add a little spice to your life, make your next grilling adventure a spiritual experience with Holy Smokers Rub Company. They have several different flavors to choose from, and each one is specially blended for a taste sensation that you will pray never ends. The best part about it is all proceeds go towards helping families who are going through the process of adopting a child. So look them up on Facebook and be sure to use coupon code GCS10, that's GCS and the number 10, for 10% off your order. Holy Smokers Rub Company, bless your taste buds. Well, hey guys, how's it going tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Brian. Like we were talking before, we've just been following Twitter the last 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah. Let's lead with that tonight. So the Cardinals made an announcement that at 10 o'clock tomorrow. So if you're hearing this tomorrow, there's a chance you may have already heard the news by the time you listen to this, but there's a press conference scheduled for 10 a.m. tomorrow, and Katie Wu of The Athletic has said that per sources given to her and Ken Rosenthal that the Cardinals plan on announcing Oliver Marmol to be the next manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. Russ, we'll go to you first. What do you think about that news?
Well, I'm not surprised. I think, you know, just following what the front office was saying and kind of the way it was going, Oliver Marmol was the guy I was kind of picking would be their first choice. I thought Stubby Clatt might be might be their second choice, but I always thought Marmol was going to be the guy. I really didn't think they'd go outside the organization at all. I didn't think there was much of a chance they're going to bring in Skip Schumacher or Matt Holliday or Bruce Bochy or anyone else. I think this is the way they want to go. I'm not afraid of Marmol being the next manager. He doesn't worry me. He seems like he's a capable, competent manager. I think he can. And from what we've heard so far, from what I've seen on Twitter, the players seem pretty satisfied. So I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Don? Let's go to you. What do you think about Marmol as a new manager?
Well, I think what you're going to see, you're probably going to see a lot more of the same that you maybe had with Schilt in one respect of more of a set lineup. I think you're going to see that. I think you're also going to see more of a skew toward that analytic Jeff Albert type. I think that's why they hired, that's why they picked Marmol. I think Stubby Clapp is, even though Marmol has been a George Kissel disciple like Schilt was, I think Clapp was probably more old school than they liked. I think that's probably the biggest reason. I think staying inside, fits with their, continuity, keeping everything, rolling. I don't think Bochy was probably ever considered, to tell you the truth. I don't really think anybody outside was ever really considered. I think this was totally going to be an inside pick. It would have surprised me. I would have liked to see had a shot was been Pop Warner instead of Clapp or Marmol. I think Warner, I don't know if he's ever going to get a shot, but then again, you're looking at they were so close at 90 games with Schilt. They've made the playoffs 3 years in a row. Is Marmol that really that big of an upgrade to get them to the next hump? That's going to be the question.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it, the question really isn't, excuse me, I don't think the question is really, is Marmol going to be able to get them over the hump? I think the question is, are they going to be able to make the additions to the club that's needed? in order to get them over the hump. Because I, to be quite honest, guys, I don't feel like I don't feel like the manager has as much of an impact, I guess, as he used to. And I think in this regard, you know, you make a good point there, Don, that there's a lot more plug and play nowadays, especially when you're playing, you know, the analytics and the sabermetrics. There seems to be, you know, you have you play the averages, you know, play the percentages, and that seems to be what the front office is leaning into. And so, yeah, I agree with you guys. I don't think it was ever going to be an outside hire. This had to come from inside. Don, I'm with you. I wish Pop Warner would have at least gotten, you know, at least gotten a look or at least gotten a chance to plead his case. But when it comes down to it, I really think that it comes back to, you know, Marmol being younger, more moldable, you know, probably more in tune with the analytics side of things than the other guys. But that's not to say that Stubby Clapp and Pop Warner aren't going to get an opportunity to manage. They're going to manage somewhere. It just may not be in St. Louis.
I agree with that. I think both of them will probably get a shot. And I think even down the road, you know, you may see guys come over here that are former Cardinals that we may get them on. You know, people have been wanting to see Edmonds or Holiday or guys like that on the staff. You might see that down the road. You might not. I don't know. This internal hiring thing kind of sends a mixed signal that they want to keep a Cardinal way, but only if it fits their way.
I think that's, you know, that's the thing. They wanted someone who would, they have their parameters set up, the front office, on what a manager can and can't do. And they want a guy to follow that. And I think probably part of Schilt's firing was, I don't know, we've all worked, I bounced this off a couple of people I know, a couple of Cardinal fans I know, and we've all worked with or supervised someone who's a good employee, but who is always argumentative, who always never, you know, every decision you make, they argued about, they were in your office about, and you said, no, this is the way we're going to do it, you know, and just, you know, let's do it. And I think, I'm kind of drifting off here, but I think it's possible Schilt just went into Mozeliak's office one too many times and told him what he wanted to do. And I just think it became, Mozeliak just got that up. And so he just wants someone to stay within the framework of what they want done, and not to be bellicking about it or anything like that. They have their plan and they want to execute it, and they're tired of anyone questioning that. So I think Marmol probably, like you guys said, he probably has a good, and he's young enough, he has a good understanding of analytics. I'm sure by now he understands what they want. And I'm sure they made that clear when they talked to him about the job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're spot on there, Russ. And Russ is a little fuzzy tonight, guys, so if you didn't catch that, you know, he was talking about the difference between, you know, Mike Schilt, you know, being you know, more of an employee that's willing to push back, and, you know, kind of speak his mind. And you know, you're right. I mean, we've all had those. I've been one of those before. Matter of fact, just recently I was. But you know, as long as you can, you know, go along with the overall philosophy, then yeah, I think you can give that pushback. And there's always that give and take. And I think, not that Mozeliak is this, but I think a good leader is also, you know, a servant leader, someone who can listen, someone who can, you know, take into, you know, account what his own people are saying and, you know, kind of try to put them in the best position to be successful. And, you know, I'm getting the feeling, the sense here that that Mo and Schilt were just too far apart. Farther than I guess Schilt thought, because it was a shock to him. It was a surprise to him. But it seems like the disconnect there was just enough that Mo said, you know what, this isn't going to work. And, you know, with Marmol stepping in, it makes me think that, some of the rumors to, you know, one or more of the coaches was going to get fired, and, you know, Schilt wasn't on board with that. I don't think that's what the case was. I think it's clearly there was a difference between the manager and the front office, and the front office won out.
Yeah, I agree. What question to both you guys? What do you think if this pushback is the thing? Was it the publicly calling out during the press conference, that one where he said, I can only play the guys I've got, or when he seemed to go against Albert, when he was saying we're paying too much attention to the slug and not enough about contact? Do you think those two things, public comments, kind of got the feathers ruffled?
I think they added to it. I think it was just a buildup over time. And I think whatever it was, there was something that happened, just pushed, that went over the top from Zaloff this one. And maybe it was a Jeff Albert comment that just was over the top. You know, he just says, I can't take this anymore. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I think it was just one more comment or one more. Maybe it was in that meeting they had before. He said something that maybe Mike Schilt didn't even understand. It didn't go over well or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Russ, because when you think about it, you know, Mo said specifically that, you know, this wasn't something that was sudden to him, but it was something that had been brought to his attention over time. To me, mm-hmm. that clearly indicates that there was something that happened before during the season. Don, I think you're absolutely right. I think when you talk about, you know, I can only play the players that are on my roster, or we're thinking too much about the slug and not about the I mean, I think those were direct shots at both the front office and at the hitting coach. And so I think what happened there was, you know, Schilt was the guy. He was the handpicked guy. Mozeliak mm-hmm. hired him back in 2004, basically groomed him for this job. And I think Schilt thought that he had more clout than he actually did. Mm-hmm. You know, here's Mo thinking that he has groomed and perfected the perfect yes man, when in all actuality, Schilt felt like he earned this shot, and he earned, you know, the respect to be able to say what he needed to say. And in my mind, he did. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I don't write the paychecks for the Cardinals. So so let's move on a little bit, because there was a specific reason I wanted to bring both of you guys on. And that's because at Gateway City Sports, we are constantly looking for ways to expand our coverage and to give you, the listener, and the fan more to be able to engage in, more content, you know, more stories, more things to follow along. And there's a couple of big ones that are happening right now. And Don, I'm going to start with you this time. Illinois pulled off a huge upset on Saturday over number 7 Penn State. And I'll be honest, I didn't watch the whole game. I was out shopping with my wife, and I got an alert on my phone that said, you know, Penn State's in trouble, you know, possible upset. So I turned the game on, and I turned it on just in time to watch the end of the fourth quarter, and then I watched all 9 overtimes. Is there a bigger step forward for this program than you can think of, than for them to go on the road and pull this one off? What do you think about that, Don?
Well, on the road, I mean, at Penn State, going to Happy Valley, yeah, you can win at Happy Valley. It isn't often people win at Happy Valley when you walk in there. And this year, with the team that that Brett Bielema has, he's still, in a lot of ways, he's still trying to get that team structured around. I mean, there were some earlier comments, I think last week he made some reference to the offensive line about maybe doing some changes, and people took that as throwing the offensive line under the bus, so to speak. And I think what it was more of just a message to the players, hey, look, you guys, I need help. You guys are the ones on the field doing the job. And I think the players are slowly buying into this idea. You know, you expected a little bit more out of this team with the amount of super seniors coming back that they had. I mean, almost your entire offensive line back. You had your pretty whole backfield. You're missing some in the wide receiver core. You're missing some on secondary and defense, but you had a little bit more expectation. And then these the win against Nebraska, I mean, everybody just was sky high, and then all of a sudden it came crashing down in a hurry, you know, with the loss to Texas, El Paso, so, or San Antonio, excuse me, and Virginia. Well, everybody expected to lose at Virginia, but just not as bad as they did. 42-14 was more than people could take. But I think this win here it's giving Bielema a little bit of street cred with the Illinois fans, if you will. Everybody knew he had a good running game at Wisconsin, but that was just because he had Alvarez's players and he had Alvarez's backing in the name of Wisconsin. I think he's showing you what he can do when the players are doing their part. And with Chase Brown, I mean, I was reading some comments of Penn State writer before the game, and he was saying there was nothing to worry about with a 2-5 Illinois. That Chase Brown may have 400 yards, but he gained 250 of that against Charlotte, so it doesn't make any difference. He won't put up that much against them. What did he put up? 232. It's the most yards gained by an opponent at Penn State in history.
Yeah, and I think on the ground, I think they did over 300 yards on the ground, didn't they?
400.
400. Gosh, that's insane. that's just crazy.
Freshman Josh McCoy had something like 146 yards himself.
Yeah, that was incredible.
You could tell it was the players really into the game, because when Chase Brown got his bell rung late in the fourth quarter, or maybe it was one of the overtimes, I can't remember which. You could see he was saying, "I know, give me my helmet. I'm staying in the game." And they said, "No. you're too valuable. You go sit on the sidelines for a little bit." And then to have Sikowski go down.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
You brought in Brandon Peters. I like Sikowski because he seems like he's got a little more presence in the pocket. But the problem with him, he doesn't have an arm. If you watch his throws, they're all pretty much lobs.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw hard. Peters has got a rocket for an arm. He just ain't accurate.
Yeah.
So... next year, going forward, this team's going to have to find a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking,
but yeah, we're all real happy about the win, though. It was definitely a defining moment, probably in the last 20 years.
Well, I was going to say it's been what, 2007 since they've beaten a team ranked that high. That would have been the year they went to the Rose Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that was at home.
Yeah,
I think that was on road. That was at home. I think this is the first road win against a top 10 team in like 30 years, something like that.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look. Yeah,
well, for all the good news that's coming out of Champaign, there's some really bad news that's coming out of Columbia. Russ, what is going on with this team in Columbia? What is Coach Drink doing over there?
Well, I think he's still learning how to be a head coach, Brian. You know, he had 1 year experience at Appalachian State, and he inherited a good outstanding Appalachian State program from, I guess, the guy that was head coach went to Louisville or somewhere like that. And I don't remember, but he had won 10-1, 11-1 year there, and was hired him. And they hired him because they liked his personalities, his energy, and they thought he needed a boost like that. Last year, in that short 10-game SEC season, they went 5-5 and looked good. I mean, some games they upset LSU. They pounded some teams, you know, and it looked good. He is a good recruiter. Apparently, he might be the best recruiter Mizzou's had in decades. He's already brought in. You know, he's got a top right now. He's got a top 20 recruiting class coming in next year. And even the Gary Pinkel years, they didn't have that. Their recruiting classes weren't that high. But he doesn't seem to know about defense. And he doesn't know. We don't know if he can hire a defensive coordinator. Donald, you're welcome. Ryan Walters, I'm glad we could send him over there and help you against Penn State, because his defense did a great job in that game. I watched it, and he won that battle of defensive coordinator at Missouri. He had some good games, but I guess Illinois just outbitted him, drew him away from Missouri. So They're trying to work in this defensive coordinator from the NFL, Steve Elks, I think is his name.
Steve Wilks.
And yeah. it's just a design. What Elks, is that his name?
Yeah, Wilks.
Brian?
Yep.
Yeah.
See, and
it's been a disaster.
Yeah, and see, I had some really high hopes for Wilks coming in, because I mean, it's not like he's, you know, it's not like he coached some bad defenses. I mean, he coached some pretty good defenses, and has great experience. And so I thought coming in, you know, here was an opportunity for, you know, the one really weak spot of this team that I thought, you know, that I felt last year was the defense. And and an opportunity, you know, with Connor Bazelak having another year under his belt, you know, being able to mature, the offense would grow. And, you know, you got Tyler Beatty coming back. And so I thought, okay, man, this is the year that, you know, they're not going to win the SEC. And there's no delusions of that. But I thought that they would at least make some noise, you know, be a decent team, you know, maybe end up with, you know, three losses at most. But now I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking the defense is worse. The offense might even be worse. I mean, Beatty's the one bright spot on this offense right now. Beatty and the place kicker. You know, those are the two.
They got a great place kicker and Beatty's doing a great job. But, their turnover rate is one of the worst in the SEC. The penalty rate is the worst in the SEC. I don't know what's going on. I'm hoping this off week they can make some improvements on the offense, because I think that's if they're going to get to six wins, that's where they're going to have to do it through. They're going to have to win some shootout games. They came off of, you know, the Kentucky game was a shootout game. They could have won that. Boston College game, they could have won that. I think they lost that in overtime.
Yep.
So they're going to have to get into some shootout games. I think the defense is just a hopeless cause, Brian. I just don't see how they turn it around in 1 week. It's just so bad. So I've got a feeling Drinkwitz is going to be looking for another defensive coordinator. Well, this offseason.
You know, again. And I wonder.
You can't have Ryan Walters back.
No. Are you sure? Are you sure? Can we pull him back?
Yeah.
No, and you know, one of the things that strikes me about that, and maybe this is the reason why Wilks was brought in by Coach Drink, was that if you look at his recruiting classes, he recruits really well, but he recruits well on the offensive side of the ball. None of his top recruits are on the defensive side. He's got, you know.
Well, they had to go in the transfer portal to get some defensive help,
right?
And hoping to fill in some gaps. I still can't believe the talent's this bad, Brian. I just can't believe a Division I team in the SEC has a defense this bad. You know, last year wasn't this bad, and of course they lost Nick Bolton to the NFL, and he was the best. He was an all everything at Mizzou, and he's doing a great job in the NFL. So they miss him, and they miss, and some others transferred out on him. I don't, this transfer portal, it's just they can give it and they can take it away. So I just think that defense took a bigger hit than they thought, or that we thought they would. I was like you. I thought an 8-win season was certainly possible, maybe a 9-win season, but I had no idea. Nobody was expecting this.
Well, let's.
As far as your defense question, do you think it's the system or do you think it is the talent level?
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think it's both. I don't think the talent level is this bad, but yeah, I think it's both. I think the talent level is less than we thought, but I think the system he's brought in is probably something new to these players. The NFL guys come in wanting to bring in an NFL system, and sometimes it's too complicated for college players.
Yeah, well, look at what Charlie Weiss did at Notre Dame. When Charlie Weiss came into Notre Dame, everybody thought, "Oh, this was going to be the greatest thing." He's this offensive genius, and you know, the NFL game just didn't translate to the college game as well as he thought it would, and it wound up running him out of town. So we're about out of time, but I want to throw this to you guys real quick. And Russ, we'll start with you. What is the key to Mizzou taking the next step and finding that next gear and making some progress?
Well, I think it's cutting down on the penalties and cutting down on the turnovers. Blazock, the quarterback, he's thrown a lot of interceptions. If he can cut down on that, and we know he's capable. We've seen what he can do. If they can cut down on the interceptions and cut down the penalties, I think this team can, you know, it's possible they could get to 6 wins. They're not going to beat Georgia, but Vanderbilt's a possibility, certainly should be. If they lose to Vanderbilt, then it just it's time to just take a swan dive, I guess. But
in what world did you ever think that you would say that the game against Vanderbilt is the most important game on the schedule right now?
Yeah, you know, and, 2 years ago, Barry Odom's team went into Nashville riding high, and they took a hit. They got beat, and they just collapsed after that. This team, they won't, but there's a shot against South Carolina, and then they'll have to win, and the team I think that would be up, they would have to beat Arkansas, and it's Arkansas's was flying high pretty well there, but they've had a lot of problems lately. So I really think, Brian, not only for this season, it's going to be cutting down the penalties, cutting down the turnovers. And I think that's doable. I think that's something the coaches can work with the players on. But let me say this. I do think the future's bright. Drinkwitz is recruiting awful well.
Yeah.
And if he can figure out his defensive problems, I think the future still looks bright, and so I'm not bailing on them, but I think this is a growing season for him. I think it's a shock for him too. So
yeah, no, absolutely. So Don, we'll shoot it over your way. As far as the Illini go, what do you think about this team and its prospects for the future? And are the early returns of the Brett Bielema era good as far as you're concerned?
Well, I just put out just recently an article on the grading, the midterm grades, and for Illinois, I gave it an overall B, mostly because of special teams and the running game. I mean, you've got a punter that's for his career now 91 punts inside the 20-yard line over the last, I think, 4 years, and like I said, with the job that Chase Brown has done as a running back and Josh McCoy coming into his own. I think he's got a core there on the offensive, on the running game side. The defense, after the Virginia game, he said there's going to be some changes. Ryan Walters put those changes in, and you saw what happened after that. I mean, the only team to score more than 20 points against us was Wisconsin after the Virginia game. So I think the defense is in good shape. We're going to lose a couple guys. We've already lost Jake Hansen for the year now, top linebacker, secondary stem, but hopefully he can get some recruits in for that. He's got, they did the week off they had last week. They went and did some recruiting. Hopefully it brings some guys in. I think the biggest thing I said earlier, they're going to need a quarterback to move on. They got a couple wins coming up possibly this year, better with Rutgers and with Northwestern at home. If they can sneak a win at Minnesota, yes, we beat Penn State, but I don't think we can beat Iowa at their place. Could, but maybe not. They could be in contention for a bowl if they can, like, get an upset win against Minnesota or Iowa. Certainly won't expect it, but hope it happens. And it'll, like I said, the more they win and the more they're showing – later showing they have as far as good play goes, as far as good defense, as far as a running game and an offense, the better recruits are going to get.
Yeah. So I think we can all agree that both on the Mizzou and the Illinois side of our border, we've got some bright futures ahead of us. And I think it's going to be fun to watch, interesting moving forward. So to keep up on all of that and more, be sure that you check us out at gatewaycitysports.com and check out Don's articles, check out Russ's articles, and we look forward to seeing you guys and having having you around with us much more. So for all of you out there listening, thank you. And Russ, Don, thank you so much for joining me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy to be here.
All right.
Anytime.
So that is all the time that we have today. I want to thank you guys for being here. Make sure you check out GatewayCitySports.com. Check out all the new content that we've got coming out daily, and make sure you check out all of our other shows, Team of Rivals, Derek King Sports Show, and 2 for 3 with Mike Stevenson. See you guys later. Be good. Be blessed.